Okay, today's scripture is from Philippians 4, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life.
Good morning, everybody. Are you all recovered from our soccer loss on Monday? As I was thinking about our passage this morning, I was thinking about the men's soccer team and their journey and how well they had played, and then suddenly, what happened? Something threw them off their game. How much like our walk of faith is that? We are walking along, God is blessing us, we're living the dream. Suddenly something small or great happens and our faith is rocked. Today's passage, we'll listen to Paul as he talks about how we stand firm in our faith when those things come about. Oh, that is helpful, huh? Okay, is that better? You hear me, John? All right, well, let me pray for us, and we'll get into our passage this morning. Heavenly Father, we just, we're gathered here today in your name, Lord. We love you, we praise you. We look to you for all things, Lord, and we just ask this morning for your word to flow out to our hearts and our minds, Lord. Move your spirit within us to give us understanding, to lead us in the way we should walk, to know what your will is for us, Lord. We do not walk this walk of faith alone, Lord, but we walk it in you. And we just ask for your hand upon us today, Lord, to help us to walk in faith. Not by sight. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So why is it that when we face trials and troubles in our walk of faith, they can so easily wreak havoc on our peace and joy, causing instability in our faith? We live a life of faith that is marked with constant tension with the world. We are in a perpetual spiritual tug of war. Do you remember what it was like to be in a tug of war contest? We grab the rope tightly, we place our feet firmly as we brace to pull against our opponent. As we both begin to pull on the rope, there's a constant tension as both sides are standing firm. As time passes, the tension begins to wear down our strength. Our footing begins to weaken. Suddenly, our footing gives way and our firm stance is compromised. We are now being pulled in the direction we do not wish to go. What was once a controlled, confident tension on the rope has become an intense, urgent struggle to regain our firm stance and stop being pulled in the wrong direction. Our walk of faith is like a tug of war with this world. We need to be constantly aware we are in this tug of war to stand firm against our opponent. The Apostle Paul describes our opponent in Ephesians 6:12. He says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of the darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. How then do we stand firm in our faith as we daily face the pressure of the world upon us, the schemes of the devil against us, and our own internal battles with the temptations of the flesh? We will see some insights from the Apostle Paul this morning as he exhorts the church at Philippi to stand firm in the Lord. We begin in verse 1. The Apostle Paul tells us, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and my crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord, my beloved." The Apostle Paul reminds the Philippians of his strong affection for them. He began this letter with a similar statement in chapter 1, verse 8. Paul tells the Philippians, "For God is my witness, how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus." This is the heart of a man transformed and gifted by God as a shepherd to love and guide God's people. A shepherd who longs to be with God's people at the church of Philippi. He says they are his joy and his crown. The crown described here is not the Greek word diadema, which describes a crown of royalty. The word here used is stephanos, which describes a woven laurel wreath. This laurel wreath was placed on the head of a victorious athlete as a reward and was also given to any person to honor them. The Philippian church was a symbol of the good fruit Paul's ministry had produced in them and through them. They responded to his ministry by honoring him with a life of faithful obedience to God's word. Their faithful obedience to God was the crown of honor that Paul wore and that Paul rejoiced in. The Apostle John describes this joy in 3 John 1:4. He says, "I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth." Does the love of our great shepherd Jesus, the love he has for us, compel us to love him and walk in obedience to him? To love others as he loved us, becoming a crown of honor to him. Paul begins our passage this morning with the word therefore. Therefore, meaning because of what he just said, he prompts us to obey what he is about to say. He says, "Therefore, in this way, stand firm in the Lord." I would like to break down this command this morning to help us understand what Paul means here. Let us first look at the phrase, "in the Lord." In Acts 17, Paul is addressing the Greek philosophers in the Areopagus regarding their altar with the unknown God inscribed on it. He goes on to proclaim to them that the God that they do not know is the God that he knows. He proclaims in verse 28 what it is to be in the Lord. In Acts 17, 28, Paul says, "For in him," that is, in God, "we live and move and have our being." In the Lord, every aspect of our life we submit to his will. When we claim the name of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we submit to him, giving reign and rule to him over our life. Every breath, every thought, every word, and every action are in submission to him. Jesus puts it this way in Luke 9:23. "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." To be in the Lord is to deny everything that we want that does not align with his will and walk in obedience to his every command. when we deny ourselves, we can become who he created us to be. Jesus gives us everything we need that fulfills us and truly satisfies what we have been longing for. Jesus tells his disciples he will ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit to help them. Then he says this in John 14, 18 through 20. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live. In that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. To be in the Lord is to not only know his commandments, but obey his commandments. We do not just have an academic knowledge of God's word, but we have moved from knowledge to understanding through the illumination of the Holy Spirit. Now we apply to our lives what we have been taught. This is what Paul prays for in the church in Colossians 1, 9 through 11. Paul says this, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. To be in the Lord is to have died to our old life, that we might now walk in a manner worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ." Are we living our life today in a way that is worthy of Jesus Christ, in a way that honors him? We move on to the phrase, stand firm. The Greek word translated stand firm was often used to describe a soldier standing at his post, a soldier who will not waver in the face of the enemy. In the strength of the Lord, we will not waver in adversity. We stand firm in the Lord by the strength only he can provide. Paul tells us in Ephesians 6, 10 and 11, "Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil." We have now come to the phrase, in this way. Therefore, in this way, stand firm in the Lord. In verse 1, the word therefore directs us back to what Paul had just said about how we might stand firm in the Lord. We look back at verse 17 in chapter 3, and we see the Apostle Paul exhorting the church to follow his example. His example was to imitate Jesus Christ. He tells the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 11, 1, "Be imitators of me, just as I also am imitate Christ." We stand firm in the Lord by being imitators of Jesus Christ. The practical application of this can be found in Colossians 3, 16 and 17. "Let the word of Christ dwell within you richly, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." The more we study and meditate on the Word of God, the more it dwells in us, becoming a part of who we are. The Holy Spirit then uses the Word of God in us to guide us in our walk of faith. This transforms our thoughts, our speech, and our actions to align with God's Word, bringing honor to the Lord Jesus. Is the Word of Christ dwelling in us richly today? Is it transforming our lives and bringing glory to the Lord Jesus? Paul goes on to tell us we stand firm in the Lord by remembering our citizenship is not in this world, it is in heaven. He tells us in verses 18 and 19 that there were many unstable people in the church who did not imitate Jesus but set their minds on earthly things. He goes so far as to call them enemies of the cross. Of this worldly attitude, the Apostle John warns us in 1 John 2:15 and 16, "Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world." Then in verse 20, Paul reminds us that our citizenship is in heaven. This world is not our home. We have a heavenly home to look forward to. Jesus says in John 14, 1 through 3, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may also be." Our stability is not found in ourselves or in this world. In the Lord, we stand firm by His strength, by His indwelling Spirit, by the power in His Word, being united with His people, keeping our eyes fixed on our inheritance in heaven. Are we wavering as we walk by sight with our eyes fixed on our circumstances? Or will we claim the victory we already have by standing firm in the Lord Jesus? Paul now goes on to address a problem in the church. Verses 2 and 3, we read, "I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. Indeed, true companion, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life." Paul now has an urgent plea to Euodia and Syntyche. These two women, along with Clement and the rest of the fellow workers, have shared in the burdens and the blessings of proclaiming the message of the good news of Jesus Christ. These women have been working diligently to help in this ministry at Philippi. Their firm stance in the Lord had been weakened, and they were now distracted from the work of the gospel by their dispute. Anything that distracts us from the work the Lord has for us is a win for the devil. We are all susceptible to division and strife entering our life, sometimes caused by external sources, and sometimes we bring it on ourselves. Can I have a witness? Conflict and strife between us, whether external or internal sourced, is caused when we follow our fleshly desires and do not stand firm in the Lord. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 3:3, since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? Are you not walking like mere men? Paul encourages these two women to live in harmony in the Lord. We can have harmony in our own life and in the life of the church as we stand firm in the Lord. As we imitate the Lord Jesus Christ thinking and acting as he did. Paul tells us in Philippians 2:3 through 5, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus. As we stand firm in the Lord, we also live in harmony in the Lord. We accept each other where we are in our faith. We accept others just as Christ accepts us where we are at. Paul says in Romans 15:5 through 7, now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, accept one another just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. By God's grace, he loves us and graciously forgives us for our disobedience, rebellion, and sin every day. Is receiving God's grace not enough for us to show that same grace towards others? To those who act towards us like we have acted towards God. The apostle does not take sides here. He calls on a third party present in the church to help these two women resolve the issue causing their lack of harmony. The Greek word here translated companion, and in some translations, yoke fellow, is the picture of two oxen in one yoke. Paul called him a true companion. The Greek word for true means genuine or sincere. This true companion, the apostle considered to be sincere and faithful and trusted for this very sensitive task. He is a partner in the ministry like Timothy and Epaphroditus, who were spoken highly of in chapter 2. He is more than the worker described later in this verse. A different Greek word is used there to describe those who were fellow workers. Paul, through this letter, encouraged these two women to live in harmony. His concern for them is so great that he follows up his letter by calling on this true companion to meet with them personally, to meet them where they are at and help them resolve their differences, bringing unity back into their relationship. In our relationships with each other today, a text, an email, a chat, does not provide the intimate personal connection of meeting in person. The emotion and meaning in this written communication can be easily misunderstood. When we experience each other in a more personal, intimate way, we communicate as much with our words as we do with our body, facial expressions, and our emotion. We see the body language. We feel the emotion and truly understand each other in a much more personal way. The true companion whom Paul has tasked with helping these ladies would be there in person to meet with them face to face, to work with the two of them together, speaking the truth in love. This goes beyond the exhortation of Paul's letter to our true companion experiencing the very real emotion and struggles of these two women up close and personal. These two women, along with Clement, were all fellow workers in the ministry. They had shared in the same struggles for the gospel that Paul had experienced. Being in a place of leadership in the church does not exempt anyone from failing to stand firm, allowing disharmony into their life. Often, it makes leaders more susceptible to assault by the schemes of the devil. This is why it is so important to quickly try to resolve anything causing conflict in our relationships. In love for each other, we must step out of our comfort zones as we have difficult conversations, trusting the Lord for the outcome. Paul again brings our attention back to our heavenly citizenship. He says, those whose names are written in the book of life. In Luke 10:20, Jesus told his disciples to rejoice, for their names were recorded in heaven. And in Revelation 21:27, the Apostle John tells us, only those whose names were written in the Lamb's book of life will enter heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. There are many things, both small and great, that can cause uncertainty and doubt, leading us to waver in our faith. Times when our world is turned upside down by some experience or circumstance we find ourselves in. But our hope is not in this world. Our hope is to stand firm in the Lord. As we walk in obedience to God's word, we are imitators of Jesus walking as he walked. In this way, we will stand firm, just as he stood firm, trusting God in everything. In this unwavering life, we can live in harmony as we humble ourselves, putting the interests of others above our own. Remember, our citizenship is in heaven. Our names have been written in the Lamb's book of life. This should cause us to live with an eternal perspective that makes our petty arguments and disagreements trivial in comparison to the glorious riches awaiting us in heaven. As we go out this week to face a world that can cause us to waver in our faith, let us go with our eyes fixed on heaven, standing firm in the strength of our Lord Jesus. Let me pray for us, and we'll move to communion. Heavenly Father, we just praise you for your holy word, Lord. We praise you and thank you for sending your Spirit to fill us, Lord, to help us walk in this world in a way that brings honor and glory to you, Lord. We thank you that your grace is sufficient for us. Lord, put it on our hearts that the grace you give us is sufficient for us to give to others, that we might not look at the world through our eyes, Lord, but we would see the world through your eyes and reflect the grace that you give to us out to them, a world that needs you desperately. We thank you for today, Lord. Help us to keep our eyes fixed on you as we go out today. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.